Growing up, I loved playing computer games, but I have not found something in adulthood that scratches that same itch. Video games don't do it. I can't use that controller. It's just not it for me. But oh my goodness, I am so glad I recently started playing June's Journey. Okay, June's Journey is like I Spy meets Carmen Sandiego, meets The Sims, meets horror movies. It's so wild and it's so, so fun to play. June's Journey is a hidden object mystery game with a captivating detective story taking you back to the glamour of the 1920s with a diverse cast of characters. Each new scene takes you further through a thrilling murder mystery story that sets the main protagonist, June Parker, on a quest to solve the murder of her sister and uncover her family's many secrets. June is fabulous. She has a fabulous little hat and feather in her cap. She's at this family estate on this gorgeous island that you can decorate, which you know that I love to do. And then as you're going, you go into different rooms of the house. You find clues that are going to lead to the suspicious murder of June's sister and brother-in-law. It's so dark. Like, you're looking for clues inside of a murder scene photo. But also, all I want to do is find the trophy and the riding crop and the muddy footprint that might be a clue about, wait, was there another person there? It's so intriguing. It's so fun. I love playing it. At the end of the day, just sitting on the couch, you know, that state of mind where you're not ready to go to bed yet. You don't want to be watching TV anymore. It's sort of just background noise. I want to be looking around my little island for clues. And that's why I love having June's Journey. Right now, I'm in the chapter where we are really uncovering some salacious information. There seems to have been a third person there the night of the murder. And that is not what we believed at the beginning. So, you know, I'm ready to figure out more about this mystery third person because I think it might be the key to everything. And so you better believe I'm about to dive back in, and you can do just the same. Escape reality and immerse yourself in the world of June Parker. Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
This is Emily,
Henley,
and Sammy,
and you're listening to Too Scary, Didn't Watch.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Too Scary, Didn't Watch, the horror movie recap podcast for those too scared to watch for themselves. I'm Emily. I'm back, and I'm too scared to watch scary movies.
Oh, so relieved to have you back, Emily. Missed you so much last week.
I was gone for 1 week.
It was too long. It was too long. I hated it. I am Henley, and I'm also too scared to watch scary movies.
I'm Sammy, and I like watching scary movies, and so I watch them, and I tell you about them. And I love to do it, especially in October.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's October and it feels like October.
I know. It's so great.
I'm so happy.
Because wasn't it super hot in LA up until recently?
It was so hot. It was so hot in LA. And I also was in Florida is where I was when I was not here. Mm. I was visiting my parents who live in South Florida. And it was so hot. I have not lived in Florida since I was 18. And it's fucking so hot there.
Oh my God.
It was so hot and it's not even the hottest time of the year. And coming back here and being like, and also I live in LA, which is like not cold, but to come back and have it be like, oh, it feels like fall. It's so festive. Ooh, it's an absolute treat though. You know, being in Florida for short periods of time is also a treat, but it's nice to be home. You know, it's nice to be home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've been giddy this past week that it's finally cold. I changed my bedding to my duvet and oh. I was like so excited. I hung up Halloween lights and I just really got in the holiday spirit.
It's a very fun time of year.
Oh my God, I'm really excited. And there was a thunderstorm here the other night.
That never happens.
I know, I missed it. I was so mad.
It was so cool, and I watched a scary movie. it was still kind of hot. And so I had all the doors open. And so it could just like see lightning and hear thunder while I, with my Halloween lights up, watching my scary movie with my black cat on my lap. Oh, it was very fun. Also, reminder, I'm a witch now, which
It's your season. It's your season.
Which Jenna was like, I just realized you're a witch with a black cat. Yes, I am.
Yes, you are. Yeah, I had like a little cozy night last night. We made cozy food. And look, I planned to watch a scary movie. I made a list of scary movies that I felt like I could handle and that I want to watch. I'm very brave now. And we watched the first of those Fear Street Netflix movies. And guys, it's not scary.
Yeah.
I know I'm brave now, but it was not scary. So I guess I got to keep it up. I did watch The Shining. I've seen it the other night, but I watched it again the other night. And it also, I mean, it's very scary. Don't get me wrong. But not nearly as scary as I remembered it being. I really thought it was like constant scares and like a million ghosts. I remember there being so many more dead people, but there's not that many dead people.
It's more of like a psychological drama in a lot of ways.
Yeah, the scariest part is for sure Jack Nicholson at the end. Like that's the scary part.
Yep.
Definitely.
Also, I one more reason to say, I haven't been here in a week and I'm like, this is the podcast where I just talk for an hour. Sorry. So I'm excited to be here. But Stephen King doesn't like The Shining movie. And one of the reasons I remember him saying in AMC Visionaries Presents Eli Roth's History of Horror on Shudder.com, that he does not like Jack Nicholson's performance, which is like, Stephen, God, you're so wrong. You're so wrong.
It's truly one of the most iconic performances of all time.
Incredible. It is. There was nobody else could have been cast in that role. The shots where he's just like sitting and staring, like, holy fucking shit. He is so good in that movie. He's so scary.
Yeah. And just as a reminder, the other reason he didn't like it is because he thought Kubrick made it into too much of a quote unquote art house film. And it's like, that's because he just made creative, surprising choices. Like, you don't
want
Stephen
King, man.
You want it to be boring, predictable choices? Like, I don't get it.
A worse actor and a worse movie? Well, sir, joke's on him because it's very good. But I also, I guess the point is, I'm incredibly brave now, so...
You are brave.
This is my first real brave spooky season, I think. I'm, like, ready to... There's some scary ones on my list, so I'll let you know.
I was going to say, you're going to have to turn up the heat a little bit and watch a scarier one.
I am inevitably, definitely going to be watching the new Paranormal this month with our dear, dear friend Jan Lippert in it. And I am very scared for that one, but got to do it. Has to be done.
Yep.
Anyway, what's up with you guys?
Well, speaking of scary things, right before I got on this podcast, something very scary happened, which is that Silas had the biggest poop blowout I've ever experienced in my life.
Wow. Did it come like up and out of the diaper?
Oh, fully. So Tim was gone. Tim's like gone until right before I record the podcast. And this happened like maybe like 15 minutes before we started recording. And I was like holding Silas and I could tell he was pooping.
Something was brewing. Because
he was making his little poopy faces. And and I was like, okay, so I know this is happening. So then I just brought him in like to change him right away. And I like open up and it's, guys, I'm sorry if this grosses anyone out, but like,
of course it's going to gross people out.
Look, I'm sorry. This might be gross. I'm going to talk about a poop blowout.
I'm sorry. Just fast forward if you don't want to listen about my son's poop blowout. But basically, he's like, he literally just pooped, but it got up to the back of his neck, like into his like,
oh my god,
into his hair. And he'd already somehow rolled in it. So it was like on his side too, you guys. It was an emergency. I just bought these really cute clothes for him and I had to put them in the trash. I just put them immediately in the trash. I had to make a bath, like do a bath for him while he, and like try to like wipe him off. And he's like crying and I'm like drawing the bath and making sure it's not too hot. I'm like alone. There's like poop, like towels all littered through the apartment.
Oh my God.
Poor little Silas is so cute. He started making faces that are more like little boy faces where he like pouts. And so he's like kind of pouting and looking really cute.
It's so cute.
He was happy once he was in the bath, but he was still like his eyes were all red and he was pouting and just looking at me like with his little like wet towel. Like so cute.
Oh my God.
And so Tim came home to just like a fucking disaster of a house. And I was like, peace, gotta go. I'm gonna go record the podcast.
That sounds like you dealt with the main disaster.
Yeah, I think Tim's disaster. Fine. Yeah. I think Tim's fine.
No, he's fine. I got Silas changed. I was real disappointed about having to throw out his clothes right away, but
bummer.
Yeah, that does suck.
That's never happened to me before. I'm just like, yeah,
hopefully they weren't the TSDW onesies.
No, he does not fit into those TSDW onesies.
Big boy.
I mean, they were, babies outgrow things
really fast.
So fast,
or they poop all over them.
Or yeah. They poo all over them. Truly, clothing is so disposable when it's that age, which is bad, but not helping with our environment. But anyway, I just needed to tell you guys that's what I was doing right before I popped on. Actually, Emily, so you said, like, can we have 15 more minutes? And I was like, thank God. Like,
yeah, because I had just woken up at 10:45 a.m. We lead different lives now. I was like, oh, man, I really slept in. Can we have 15 more minutes? And you're like, yeah, I'm dealing with a poop explosion.
Oh, poor little Silas.
What a morning.
Sammy, we also just put our duvet on our bed, and man, I sleep so much better with a duvet. Yeah.
Like, I like a little bit of weight. I really do.
Yeah, me too.
It's really wonderful. I feel very happy at the season change. I feel like in LA, we don't often get a fall. It kind of goes straight from summer to winter, and I feel like we're getting our maybe little 2 weeks of fall in here.
I feel like we are. Yeah, fall is like... October can be a really tricky month here. It's often still quite hot. And I feel like we've been really lucky this year to get like kind of an actual little fall. I might go do like some apple picking or something. I don't know. I want to do something.
I'm going apple picking next weekend.
Wow. This is so cute. I'm filled with joy. I love this. I love this season.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what else I love about this season is scary movies. Mm. And I watched a couple this week.
Woo-hoo.
And last week I had mentioned that we were probably going to do Lamb this week. I did see Lamb and I decided that will not be our main focus. I am going to tell us about it, but it's not, I didn't think it was scary. And it's, basically all of it is in the trailer, and then there's like one more twist. So we're going to watch the trailer and then I'm going to tell you the twist at that happens at the end.
Great. So if anybody doesn't want to hear it, just very quickly what happens in Lamb, you can skip ahead, because then we're going to do another movie.
Yes. Then we will be doing Trick or Treat, which came out in 2007, but then was shelved it premiered at a festival in 2007 and then was bought and then shelved till 2009.
Wow.
It was written and directed by Michael Dougherty, who also did Krampus.
Oh, my God. I love Krampus.
So he's got the holiday horror.
Yes, he loves a spooky holiday. I can't wait for spooky Valentine's Day.
Guys, should we just do Krampus every Christmas? Even though
it's so good.
We can just retell it every year, once a year.
That could be fun. And in Trick or Treat, it is starring Anna Paquin, Quinn Lord, Dylan Baker, Leslie Bibb, and Brian Cox.
My dad.
Exactly. But before we get into that, let's talk about Lamb for a second, which is directed by Valdemar Johansson, written by Valdemar Johansson and Sean, starring Noomi Rapace, Hilmer Schneer Gudnason, and Bjorn Hilner Haraldsson. And it is in theaters right now.
Yeah, give us a little rundown on Lamb, just real quick.
Okay, so I think we should watch the trailer first, because that'll give you the rundown.
Okay.
Yeah, so let's watch the trailer. Have you guys not seen this trailer?
No, I don't know anything about this movie.
I thought that you were talking about Pig the whole time. You're talking about Lamb.
You know what's so funny is that there's also a movie coming out called Wolf this year, and so there's Pig, Lamb, and Wolf. How are we ever supposed to keep them? What's going to be what?
Pig, Lamb, and Wolf.
But okay, yes, let's watch this trailer. I think this is a very great trailer, but it does kind of show everything.
The entire movie. God, I hate
great.
They do that. Okay,
let's do it.
And FYI, this trailer is in Icelandic, so if you are listening, you may not be able to understand it, so just watch the trailer. The link will be in the episode description.
I may not always love you, but long as there are stars above you, you never need to doubt it. I'll make you so sure about it.
Fire!
God only knows what I'd be without you.
Dare keep up. The teeth.
I can't, I mean, I've said it once, I'll say it again. I can't handle any movies now with any inkling of a baby that has died and a woman's trauma surrounding that baby. It is.
And it's every movie.
It's every movie.
It's a lot of movies.
It's every goddamn movie. Motherfucker. Yep. Yeah. And that little lamb was so cute.
That's really cute.
Terrible combination of things that I love. Tiny little things with hooves and a baby.
Yes, I didn't even
really
think about that.
Really cute. Oh my God, it was so cute.
I'm so relieved, actually, that we're not going to do a full rundown of this movie.
Now I'm like, that movie, I mean, I know you said it revealed everything in the trailer, but I'm sort of like, but what is it?
It's kind of like Servant in a way. Or do you remember that M. Night Shyamalan Apple TV?
I never saw it, but I've been wanting billboards. To see it. Oh, right. It's they have a fake baby, right? And a mother believes that this doll is a real child or something like that.
Exactly. That's part of the story. And so, yeah, it's just a woman's like psychosis after losing a child.
Cool.
Entertaining.
Fun. It's cool to be in a society that both understands and treats women and mothers well and then loves to deal with, like, it's like having babies makes women crazy. It's like, what are we doing?
And then apparently it makes the mom lambs crazy too, because they're going after the
motherhood is a truly insane thing that we all just like are like, yeah, anyway, that's real. You just have a child and then you're like,
yeah. I will say, Henley, when we first did Rosemary's Baby, I remember clearly you saying not enough movies talk about how scary motherhood is, and now every single movie that we do
is that why had I not put two and two together.
I think, yeah, it's just
it's until you do
your brain. Your brain changed, and now you
your
see
brain
it
did
everywhere.
Change. That is also a thing that does actually happen: is your brain does literally change.
Yeah, no, I know. My brain is completely different. Tim keeps saying that Silas has hard-boiled my brain only because the only thing I do now is just talk to Silas. And I'm just like, hi, Silas. Hi. Oh, my God. What do you have? Is that your blankie?
You must.
Oh, my God. Look at you. You're so cute. Oh, are you smiling? Are you smiling for Mama? Tim's like, calm down.
This is another thing that, again, I haven't fact-checked and I won't, but a thing that I heard. Is that when you have a child, it like your brain chemistry does change, both the father and mother, your brain chemistry changes to like attach you to the child or something. And for men, it changes back after a certain period of time. And for women, or I should say the
birthing
person who gives birth and carries the child, it never changes back. So like that is why motherhood is so intense and insane.
It's very intense. It's definitely
like,
intense.
And that, yeah, the non-birthing parent doesn't have that same experience of it, no matter what.
Yeah. Oh my God. Okay, well, Sammy, what are you going to tell us about
this? Yeah, tell us about this freaking movie.
First,
I'll say that I thought it was a great movie, and
it looks beautiful.
I really, really enjoyed it. It is beautiful. But yeah, so basically, as you saw, it's a couple in rural Iceland, and they are sheep farmers, breeders, I guess.
Shepherds,
yes. And one of my biggest takeaways was how fucking scary sheep are. Lambs, very cute. Sheep, terrifying.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, sheep are similar to goats. Goats are scary. I love goats. You know this, but they're a weird. I mean, they're a weird animal.
You mean just because they're weird? Like just physically you think they're scary?
I think physically their beady little eyes
their
are
eyes
really,
are wild.
Yeah, they're just spooky as hell.
They're like to the side, but look right at you. Do you know what I mean? It's like.
And so a lot of this movie is just kind of dread and really atmospheric, like low string music, and just lots of long wide shots of this like very open space with these creepy sheep. So it's the like atmosphere building is really, really great. And so I would say the only scary thing in it is there's a feeling of dread pretty much the whole time, because you know something's not right and you know something bad is going to happen. But you see this couple. They do allude to having lost a child, and as they are delivering a lamb, it comes out, and you hear it kind of a baby cry and hybrid lamb bah, and they kind of have a knowing or a look, share this look with each other, and they take the lamb inside. You don't really see anything below the lamb's neck for a while, but you know something is different about this lamb. You see the mother sheep being very distressed, and it comes to the window and is bawing for its baby over and over. But we're seeing these parents very, very smitten with this lamb, putting it in a crib, taking out the old crib and stuff from storage, and falling in love with this lamb. But you hear the sheep bawing outside. Is there okay? Bleeding? What's the word for it?
Fine. Fine. Bleeding? Works too.
One of those. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
Fine. Fine is right for sheep, though.
Bleating with a T.
Yes. That's yes.
Yeah. 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 That's what she said.
Yeah. And so.
Not bleeding.
I didn't say bleeding.
It's not bleeding. It's bleeding.
It's bleating.
I just don't hit the T. Too hard.
Bleating. Ratatouille.
And so it's just this incessant noise that's driving the mother character, played by Noomi Rapace, who is just so great. And it's driving her crazy. She eventually goes out and shoots it and kills the sheep because it's interfering with her happiness of thinking that this is her child, because it's a reminder. This is the creature that birthed this lamb. She kills it. And then her husband's brother comes and visits. There's some dread there because he's very disturbed by the situation. And there's an implication that he'll maybe kill the lamb. He's like, it's an animal. Yeah. He takes it out with a gun at one point to try to kill the lamb. The lamb's name is Ada. But he is eventually taken with her as well. they're this strange little family unit for a bit. And then at one point, Ada goes outside and we see, you heard that kind of low grumbling, growling noise in the trailer. We mm-hmm. hear that and we see Ada see something, and there's this really scary shot. It's a close up on Ada's face, and you see in the reflection of her creepy little lamb pupil, basically a huge man body with a sheep head. And so this is the father. Yeah.
The dad. Okay.
And as the mom at one point is taking the brother to the bus station, and the dad is with Ada, and they're out in the fields or whatever. And when the mom gets back, she hears gunshots, and we see the sheep man has killed the dad and takes Ada away. And
so have we seen Ada's body by now? Is it a human body with a lamb
half,
head?
Half okay. human. It's kind of, it's from the neck down, split hot dog style. So it's still half goat on the left side of the body or right side of the body. So it has like two hoofed, a hoofed hand and a hoofed foot, and then a regular human hand and human foot on one side.
So 75% sheep.
Yeah. Yes.
And yeah, we get at the end, we get a look at the sheep man that kills the dad, and the mom comes home to find the dad dying and the child gone. And that's the end of the
movie. That's the end? Yeah. Oh my God. Okay. Well, I'm honestly really glad that we just got that brief summary.
Yeah, it kind of just felt like it wasn't enough to do a full long retelling of, but I did really, really like it. And I do recommend it. I don't think it's too scary. It's more sad. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just sad.
Yeah.
Because Noomi Rapace is left alone.
Well, but you can't steal someone's baby and shoot them and take
your own. You can't.
You can't do that.
No. I'm wondering how these half sheep, half humans live. What's that society like? Is there like a secret Icelandic
half human? Yeah, it kind of feels society? Like a little folk tale. Like, I don't know if it might be based on something that like a lore that I don't know about, but it kind of feels that way. But yeah, it was good.
Cool. We did it.
Now we're going to do Trick or Treat.
So let's watch the trailer for that.
Okay.
This is the one night.
Don't forget your costume.
All sorts of things. Roam free.
The Halloween school bus massacre.
Neighbors.
Okay.
Wait. There's another tradition. Always check your candy.
Very Krampus vibes,
right? I like didn't know that this was a silly movie, and it's very silly and fun. And I actually think, part of the reason why we chose it is because it takes place on Halloween, so it's a perfect one for October. And I really do think if you're looking for a like not too scary movie to get you in the Halloween spirit, this is it. It's fun.
Cool.
It's funny. There are some good little scares in it. But it's like mostly just a good time, I thought.
The quotes, the sources of the quotes for this trailer, chud.com.
That's what I was going to say. It's Dread Central, Fangoria, and shocktillyoudrop.com.
And please don't forget chud.com.
Chud.com.
Ain't it cool news?
I just love someone visiting dreadcentral.com every day, being like, gotta check Dread Central, see what's Dread going Central on. Have
to say? The horror community has a lot to say.
Yeah, they do. Shocktillyoudrop.com.
Get Brian Cox looking all haggard.
I know. Mm-hmm. He's got some prosthetics on.
Ooh. Who's the guy? Who's the other guy? The dad?
He's from The Americans.
Thank you. Yes.
That's what I recognized him from. And he's great in this.
That's what it is. He's great in The Americans.
Yeah, he's really good.
Wow. Okay, trick or treat. I'm feeling festive. Let's hear about it.
You know that scene in horror movies where someone's alone at home, cooking or whatever, watching TV, and a killer is outside watching them through their huge, open, enormous, completely clear windows that for some reason have no blinds or coverings on them whatsoever? Don't let that be you. You need privacy. You need 3-day blinds. They are the leading manufacturer of custom window treatments in the U.S., and right now they are running a buy one, get one 50% off deal. Just set up an appointment and you'll get a free, no obligation quote the same day. And if you're not very handy, that's not a problem, because the expert team at 3-Day Blinds handles all the heavy lifting. They design, measure, and install, so you can sit back, relax, and leave it to the pros. I feel like sometimes when you hear the word blinds, you might be thinking of broken, loud, dirty dorm room blinds, but I was just looking at 3-Day Blinds' Instagram, and I can assure you that is not what we are talking about here. These are good-looking blinds, shades, shutters, etc. They have thousands of options for any budget or style, no matter your unique need, whether it's motorization, to home automation, room darkening, or child safety. They're going to have something that's going to look gorgeous in your home, and it's going to keep those prying eyes away so you don't have to live in your very own horror movie. Right now, you can get 3-Day Blinds buy one, get one 50% off deal on custom blinds, shades, shutters, and drapery. For a free, no charge, no obligation consultation, just head to 3dayblinds.com/too scary. That's buy one, get one 50% off when you head to 3dayblinds.com/too scary. One last time, that's the number 3daiblinds.com/too scary.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Okay, so it opens with a little 50s style instructional video that teaches us, or that tells us, rather, the rules of Halloween, which are to always wear a costume, hand out candy, never extinguish the flame of a jack-o'-lantern, and, well, this one comes later. There's a secret fourth rule that you're just going to have to wait and see.
Ha!
And it's kind of like these little vignettes. It's like little short stories, so we move from kind of one. It's all in the same neighborhood, and there's a lot of fun. Like, you'll see characters from one story in the background of another story. They intersect in kind of fun ways. And the first, it opens with a couple kind of at the end of Halloween night, presumably returning home dressed in their costumes, and their house is all decorated, with ghosts in the front yard that are on, little crosses, and they're regular human sized, and they're creepy looking. And the woman is Leslie Bibb, who I literally can't think of without hearing Sam Rockwell being like, my fiance, Leslie Bibb. I don't know if you've ever heard Sam Rockwell give an acceptance speech, but he likes to name drop his first girlfriend.
First and last name?
Yes, Leslie. He'll shout out Leslie Bibb. He one time, I'm sorry, this is such a tangent, but it fascinates me. On the red carpet, he was wearing like some sort of cufflink that I think said LB. And, you know, they like asked him, like, tell us about your what you're wearing tonight. He's like, well, I've got this cufflink that says LB for my fiance, Leslie Bibb. And I'm just like, again, he like has to drop her name anytime anyone speaks to him about anything.
I mean, I think a really cool interpretation of that is Sam Rockwell is much more famous than Leslie Bibb. And maybe that's his way of being like, hey, here's a name to remember. Leslie Bibb. Hey, mm-hmm. Hey, everybody, look at Leslie Bibb. Hire Leslie Bibb.
I know. It's very funny to me. I mean, he's clearly like loves her a lot, which I like. But it is just very
that's
funny.
That's cute.
I'm going to start.
That's really
let's
cute.
All do this. I'm going to start only referring to Joel as Joel Jensen.
Yeah.
Yes.
Joel Jensen.
But so her and her boyfriend, she is clearly doesn't like Halloween that much. I think she says, I hate Halloween. And she goes to blow out the jack-o'-lantern.
You can't do that.
And her boyfriend says, you can't do that. It's ancient tradition. And she's like, oh, that's not real. Blows it out. We see a little kid figure in a little burlap pumpkin head sack. This is a creepy little costume.
Yeah,
watching
I don't like that.
From across the street, looking like mad that she's blown out this jack-o'-lantern light.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, well, I'm going to start cleaning up, and starts like taking down all the decorations in the front yard, like in the middle of the night on Halloween night. Like, wait till the morning, you know?
Yeah,
but I'm with her, though. Halloween decorations have to come down on November 1st.
Yeah, sure.
It feels weird to have Halloween up in November.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, but mm-hmm. it's like, do it in daytime.
Do
especially
it in daytime.
If the taking down of the decorations involves pulling a sheet off of man-sized
yeah, I would not be doing that
at
in the dark.
Night, one after another.
No,
and so it makes for a very creepy scene. There's also limbs, plastic severed limbs hanging in the trees as decoration. And as she's pulling off the sheets one after another, eventually something jumps out at her, gets her. We see kind of little shots under the sheet of a pumpkin lollipop that has a bite in it that makes it sharp. So it's like a stabbing tool, and she is being attacked with this sharp lollipop. And we hear her screaming, but the boyfriend's inside, doesn't see any of this, and eventually comes out and finds her hanging in the tree, or he recognizes her hand hanging from the tree because it has, I think, her wedding ring on it or something, and looks at it and then pulls another one of the sheets off, and her decapitated head is on one of the spikes or whatever.
Yikes.
Wait, hold on. I think they say.
Okay.
Okay. I don't know why this really got me. I don't know why I had that reaction. But in the trailer, I think they told us what the fourth like secret
yes.
rule is. You're not supposed to check
they
your.
They did, but Henley!
We all just listened to the trailer.
Well,
you want me to
true.
Give it away?
True.
Sorry, I will leave it as a mystery for now, but if anyone was listening to the trailer, it says it.
Oh, you just cut in to spoil the surprise for later. It wasn't a question about this scene?
Well, it was because it felt like the
Henley's
lollipop
reacting about 5 minutes behind.
the lollipop with the razor blade in it.
No, it doesn't
Isn't
have a razor
like
blade
candy?
In it. It's just bitten into a sharp.
Just a sharp lollipop.
Yes.
Oh.
Did you ever cut your tongue in a lollipop? I think I have, but not like that kind, but like the seam. You know how sometimes there's like a seam in like a blow pop where they
just sourdough bread
the,
for me.
Oh, yeah,
in?
I think so. I know. Sammy and her freaking sourdough bread. It's her weapon of choice these days.
But I have cut myself on ice, and I think maybe that's a little similar, kind of that sharp edge.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Okay.
So that's the opening scene. Then we get titles, and then we go back in a little. It has these kind of comic book look.
Yeah, those are in the trailer. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Is it based on a comic or is that just like the visual that they use?
I have no idea. I know that it was a short film before. But they're just peppering in these little comic strips. And so it says earlier in that little comic font. And then we go to earlier in the evening and there's a kid walking, trick-or-treating, and gets to a house where it has candy set out that says, just take one, please. Like, we're not here. Just take one. He starts loading up his bag with all of it. And the man who lives there comes home, and it is the man from The Americans. His name is Wilkins in this. His real name's Dylan Baker, for anyone who's curious. And he's immediately suspicious and creepy and comes and sits down next to the kid and is like, it's fine, it's fine. You got hungry. That's okay. And he's like, go ahead, eat it. Like, have a bite, take some. And the kid starts eating it. And this is where Wilkins says, oh, but you forgot the fourth rule, which is always check your candy. And the kid just starts violently vomiting, like so much, dies next to him, like collapses onto his lap. And the man picks him up, and some other kids walk by and say, hi, Principal Wilkins. So there's a little twist there that he is the school principal. He waves at them while trying
to... How would you check your candy for poison?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That was one of my main questions as well. Later, we'll see some candy with razor blades in it, which you could check for that. But you can't check for poison.
No.
No.
I guess you check if it's been opened.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Then you don't need it.
Yeah.
So he starts trying to bury this boy's body in his yard. He has a grave already dug with another body in it. So clearly he has done this before. And as he's burying it, the neighbor's dog is almost able to crawl under the fence and is kind of wriggling. And he's like, no, like, get out of here. And the dog is almost going to get through. And so he takes the shovel and breaks off one of the boy's fingers and throws it for the dog so that the dog gets distracted and has a little finger to chew on.
Ew.
Mm-hmm.
And the neighbor's house is not lit up, no decorations. And it's kind of spooky. And we hear the neighbor's voice saying, who's there? Get out of my yard. In a recognizable voice of Brian Cox. Can almost hear him say, but up, up, up. You recognize that from your McDonald's commercials the second you hear it.
Brian Cox, infamously a McDonald's commercial. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
I fucking love his McDonald's commercials. They're so great.
Oh my God.
Wilkins calls back, it's me, sorry. And it's clear that they don't like each other. And he says, you know, leave my dog alone. He goes back inside. Wilkins continues burying the body. And then from the window, we hear a little boy say, daddy, time to carve the pumpkins. And he turns around and is like, shh, keep your voice down. And kid's like, why? We saw this in the trailer. And he's like, you're disturbed the neighbors. So not only is this man the school principal, he also has a small child of his own.
Cool.
What the heck is going on?
What the heck?
What the freaking heck? He finishes burying the body and he goes back inside. And as he is going into his front door, we see Brian Cox banging on the window of his house saying, like, help me, help me, help me. And Wilkins kind of rolls his eyes like, asshole, like, I'm not helping him, goes inside. And we see something take Brian Cox down. So he's being attacked by something in his house. Then Wilkins goes inside with his son, and his son is saying, like, time to carve the pumpkin, daddy. Can you make sure to help me with the eyes? And Wilkins is like, yep, time to carve the eyes, really menacingly, and hides a little knife behind his back. And he's like, let's go carve it in the basement. And him and his son, like, walk down the stairs. And he is standing behind his son, and his son is like facing the carving table, and he's like, make sure to carve the eyes spooky, Dad. And he's like, yep, I will. Raises up the knife and plunges it down. It pulls it back. It's covered in blood now. And then the camera pulls back to reveal the decapitated head of the boy he killed earlier. And him and his son are carving that head together.
Okay. Great. Great, 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 great.
So he's
great,
at
great,
least
great.
Not killing his own son, but they have a very disturbing father-son bonding thing.
He's raising another murderer.
But, you know, they have shared interests.
Yeah, yes. That's true.
Beautiful. That's a beautiful story, actually. A father-son bonding.
That's actually really touching.
It's nice to see a father and his child bonding, honestly. Take time to be a dad today.
Yeah, that vaguely reminds me of Dexter. Did you guys watch Dexter?
Yes, the way up until the last two episodes, and I never finished it because I hated it so much by the end.
I don't know if I ever finished it either. It was so bad by the end. Oh, it was so bad.
They're bringing it back.
They are?
With the same actress?
Yep.
Just the whole concept. Also, what it reminds me of is that wasn't Dexter like his dad or something, like sensed that he was like a murderer and was like, I sense this in you.
Adopted dad, I think.
Yeah. And I shall raise you to be like a practical,
a better serial killer.
Murderer.
Because he watched his real parents get murdered from like inside a box. He was in a box or a crate or something and it fucked him up.
Yeah, that's not okay.
That's not okay.
I can't believe they're bringing Dexter back. What the hell? It should have ended with that John Lithgow season. That season was
good. That was a good one.
Yeah, I think that was the last season I watched, honestly.
Oh, it was really good and very upsetting. Anyway,
back to this movie, back to Trick or Treat.
Trick or Treat.
Mm-hmm. Trick or Treat.
Oh, yeah. Father, son, bonding. That's how we got there.
That's
great.
End of that little vignette. We move on to the next one. We meet Anna Paquin, who is with her sister and two friends.
Paquin?
Paquin. Paquin. I don't know.
I just don't know.
Paquin.
Paquin.
Anna Paquin. Paquin.
I will call. Paquin. Well, I don't know her character name. We'll call her Anna.
We'll call her Anna.
Her and her sister and her two friends are in a Halloween store picking out their costumes. They're wearing like slutty versions of Disney princesses. And the sister and the two friends are kind of very clicky. Anna's the odd one out. And they're kind of making fun of her a little bit because her dress isn't as slutty as theirs. So she looks like a little girl rather than a hot, sexy princess.
What are you, some kind of prude bitch?
Yeah, exactly. Her sister makes a comment at one point saying, "Mom always said she was the runt of the litter," which is so weird.
Oh, so mean.
And they're planning that they're going to go to a party that night, and they're like, we got to pick up some dates on the way there, find some guys. And the sister flirts with the guy that rings them up for their costumes at the end and is like, yeah, if you want to meet me when you're off at this party, he says yes. And they're pressuring her to find someone to invite to the party too, and she says, I want my first time to be special. I don't want it to be just anybody. And they're making fun of her for that and rolling their eyes at her.
Also crazy to be like, invite somebody to the party so you can fuck them. Why is that one or the other?
It's a very, very funny vibe. But then we leave that story for a bit and we go to these four kid trick-or-treaters. They're like teenagers. And they pick up a girl that they refer to as an idiot savant, which I don't think you say anymore.
No, you definitely don't.
Just savant, right? Or is it even
does she have autism?
I don't know. They say that she does. She is different, but it's clear that they are inviting her along with them for nefarious purposes. They are being little assholes.
Bullies.
Yeah. But they're pretending like, oh, come out with us. We're going to go to the rock quarry.
Honestly, those are my least favorite stories, are when like an unpopular or like innocent dork is invited by the cool kids and the cool kids are just being mean.
That's exactly
that breaks my heart every single fucking time. Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah. Her name is Rhonda. She's dressed as a witch. She's very cool. She knows the kind the Celtic traditions behind Halloween, which even though I'm a witch, I don't know yet.
You're a new witch, Sammy. It's okay.
But she's kind of telling the history of Halloween, and they're humoring her because they're trying to make it seem like they're her friend. And they take her to an abandoned rock quarry, and they say this is the site of the Halloween school bus massacre. And the kind of girl teenager that's clearly the one leading the pack a bit, kind of pressuring them all to be mean, the meanest of the bunch. She starts telling this story of the school bus that they would take these 8 children who were disabled to and from school. And we're getting looks back in like flashbacks of these 8 kids, each in a different Halloween mask. And they say that their parents were so at the end of their rope that they pooled together all of their money to pay the bus driver to kill them. And in this flashback, the bus driver drives to this abandoned rock quarry, parks the bus, and goes to each of the kids and checks, and he has chained each of them into their seat, like locked them in.
Jesus.
It's so horrifying. One of the kids is like rocking back and forth saying like wrong way, wrong way, wrong way, like knows it's like not right.
That is horrible.
It's horrifying. And I don't know what the actual plan is. I think maybe he's going to set it on fire. But one of the kids breaks from the chains and gets into the driver's seat of the bus and just presses the gas, and it goes right off a cliff into the water below this rock quarry. And they say none of them were ever seen again. That is the tale. And so the 4 bully kids are like, and we're going to go down there and we're going to leave our jack-o'-lanterns as an offering, our 8 jack-o'-lanterns as an offering for each of the 8 children that died. And there's this rickety old elevator they have to take down to the bottom of the rock quarry. And the 3 of the kids go first, and one stays back with Rhonda because it's a small elevator. They're like, we'll go down. You come and join us. We'll send the elevator back up. They send the elevator back up. And as Rhonda and the other kid are going down, they start hearing screaming, and the lights of the jack-o'-lantern start getting extinguished one by one as we hear like screaming, and they're totally freaked out. They get to the bottom, and Rhonda goes out to try to help them and finds like these hooded figures looking like they're eating the intestines of one of the kids. And it's revealed that it's a prank, and it's the asshole kids that have like little sausage links and whatever, and they're like making it look really scary. But she's obviously like very freaked out, starts to make a run back to the elevator, trips, hits her head really hard, and is like bleeding from her head. And then I can't remember exactly how, but she's off on her own again, I guess, because she's running away from them and they're trying to find her and be like, it's a prank. It's a prank. Like, you're overreacting. One of the guys is like, she hit her head pretty hard. Like, we should get her to a hospital. She's now hiding from them. And as she gets to the water's edge, she sees one of the masks of the kids that we saw on the bus in the flashback. And it comes out of the water, and it is a waterlogged, corpsey kid with
corpsey
with the still with the chains around the waist, and all of them start coming out of the water, all 8 of these resurrected kids. and Rhonda runs straight for the elevator, and it's foggy and dark and you can't quite see what's happening. And then one of the kids starts screaming again. The other kids are like, okay, no more time for jokes. Get like, this isn't, we're done doing that now. And take a while to realize that this is real this time. And Rhonda gets into the elevator first, closes the door. She's completely panicked. And they eventually are running for their lives to the door as well. And they're like, let us in, let us in. This isn't a joke. And she doesn't. And she just presses that up button and she leaves them all there to die.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
And they're just like, hell yeah, Rhonda.
Oh my God.
But it's more that she's just terrified. Like, she doesn't look like she does it with much like intention.
She's just trying to get the fuck out of
there.
Woo! Wait, so what does this have to do with Anna Paquin?
This one doesn't.
That one has, we'll be back. We'll be back with her.
Yeah.
We've stepped away from her vignette.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're back to her now. So after that, we go back to, her name is Lori in the movie. And we see her on her, by herself now, walking through kind of a festival. It's like a fair type thing where people are all in costume celebrating, and she is looking for a guy, and everyone is in couples. And so she's just like looking, getting a little frustrated. Everyone's kissing and holding hands. And then there's one joke that really made me laugh. She sees a guy dressed as a centaur. She like gets a little hopeful look like, oh. And then from the butt of the centaur comes his girlfriend, like lifts it up and they like start kissing. It really made me laugh. And we see that the three other girls, her sister and the friends, are at a party in the woods. And her sister says, I found someone for you. We see a man dressed as a baby covered in his own vomit that's like lolling around on the ground. I don't know, but it's like... What? Like, no.
Like, funny joke.
Yeah. And she's like, no, like, I'm going to find someone. She keeps looking around. And we have seen a man dressed as a vampire bite a woman and, like, draw blood and be scary. There was, like, one little glimpse of him earlier. And he's wearing a vampire mask that is similar to one of the masks the kids were wearing in the bus. And so it seems like maybe this could be the kid grown up that somehow had survived. And we see Lori see this guy and he looks back at her kind of interested as well. We know he's bad. She doesn't. She just thinks, ooh, like a handsome vampire looking man.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Which we can't blame her for.
Yeah. Can't vampires. So sexy.
And then we see them start to kiss. He bites her and a little scuffle breaks out. And at the party in the woods, we see her. Lori's dressed as Little Red Riding Hood. And we see the Little Red Riding Hood costume fall from above. And they run up to it like, oh, my God, Lori, and pull down the hood and reveal it to be Principal Wilkins is the vampire man.
Ew.
What?
Okay.
And
this man just gets worse and worse.
Yeah, he's bad. And he, in his fall, his legs have, you know, snapped and broken and the bones are like coming out. We see that. It's very gross. And Lori comes around the corner saying, like, she's got this new sense of confidence and is like, yeah, like, things got a little rough between us, so I had to I don't know, put him in his place or something like that. She says something like very, this is a different vibe now. And they all start like looking at each other knowingly and they're like, all right, well, let's do it. And they all turn into werewolves and start eating all the people. And that's what they meant by her first time. And that's why she's the runt of the litter.
Oh, I get it now.
It's very funny and silly. And yeah, they just are werewolves under the full moon on Halloween. We see the little pumpkin head kid watching this and then running off. And he runs to Brian Cox's house, who is not handing out candy and has all the lights off. And
he's about to learn a lesson.
Yes.
In generosity.
Yes. And we see that now this time is lining up again with it's gone back in time.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is lining up with when Principal Wilkins is burying the body in his yard. We kind of get that.
Wait, play. But he just broke his legs.
Yeah, it's back in time. It's
okay.
Basically, the movie like goes in a loop. It like starts at the end and then goes back to the end again.
I see. Okay.
So we see Brian Cox in his house after he gets his dog back and after he's yelling at Principal Wilkins, goes back in his house. He sees little pumpkin head kid running in the distance, giggling. He knows someone's in here. He gets the shotgun out. It's like, whoever's in here, like, get out of here. I mean it. And follows it him up to his room. And in Brian Cox's room, there's a jack-o'-lantern. And all the walls and the ceiling, it's written in blood, trick or treat, give me something good to eat, over and over and over. And he's looking around, what the fuck is going on? And he's standing right next to his bed. And then a little razor blade comes out from under the bed, slices that Achilles.
Oh, I hate that. Oh, no, thank you.
Falls onto the ground and gets a look at your little pumpkin head kid's name is Sam. And so Sam attacks him and he is eventually able to get his like point the shotgun at him and he shoots him in the head and in the stomach. And basically like pumpkin filling comes out. And there's a moment where we think, OK, he's killed him. He's dead. And then his hand like got blown off and we see the little hand crawl back to his body and it presses up against it and all the little pumpkin insides start pressing back together and he is able to get the burlap sack off of his head to get a look at what we're dealing with here and underneath is just like an actual scary little pumpkin head. It's actually really funny looking, but his head is just in the shape of a pumpkin. And he comes back to life again, attacks Brian Cox. And I think he's got that he gets his pumpkin lollipop out and bites it. And so he makes it into that sharp little weapon that we saw earlier. Mm-hmm. And he is going to stab Brian Cox with it, pulls it up and brings it down. And kind of nothing happens. And we get for a little moment like, wait, what just happened? And we see that it stabbed into a chocolate bar that fell when, like, as they were fighting, it fell on top of Brian Cox. And he like, picks it up and takes a little nibble of it. And he's like, and he, like, looks satisfied by it. And he just leaves. Because the rule is just give me something good to eat.
Oh, that's all he wanted. That's all he wanted. He's like, the rules aren't complicated.
Yeah, just like,
all I want is a candy bar. What's the big deal?
Trick or treat, motherfucker.
I'll kill you if you don't give me one. Just give me one. Yeah.
And so he leaves and spares Brian Cox's life.
Phew.
And then we see trick-or-treaters come to Brian Cox's door. He's now learned his lesson and is handing out candy. And he's all bandaged beautiful. Up. Very funny. And it's just like, your Achilles heel was sliced. Like, you would not be
I think you gotta go to the hospital,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah, you're not gonna just bandage that up and go on with your night. So he hands out some candy, closes the door, and then walks by a bookshelf in which there is a picture that reveals that he is the bus driver of the Halloween bus massacre. And there's another knock on the door, and it is the 8 resurrected kids from the massacre, and they come in and get their revenge and kill him. And that's the end of the movie.
Oh, okay.
Kind of as that's happening, the camera pulls out and we see, you know, Pumpkinhead kid across the street seeing the Leslie Bibb blow out the pumpkin. And we see the werewolf girls driving by laughing. Now they're all, they've eaten all their chosen men and they're in great, great spirits, having a great time. And we see Rhonda walking home. So it's just fun, the little intersecting stories. I had a great
time. That's fun. That's festive.
It's fun and festive.
Cute.
It was cute.
That was so cute. It was mostly cute when all those kids died, but it was also cute when Brian Cox had his Achilles cut.
Yeah.
Yep.
By Little Pumpkin Boy.
Little Pumpkin Boy.
Yeah, that was fun. Wow. What two completely different movies.
Yes.
Yeah.
Gotta say.
I really watched them literally back to back. I saw Lamb at 4:40 and was like, oh no, I don't think that this is a good one for us to do. And I was like, well, I'll just go right into Trick or Treat.
Trick or Treat.
And yeah, an interesting double feature for sure.
Interesting double feature.
It kind of reminds me of, there was a spate in the early 2000s of that kind of vibe with movie making where it was just the different vignettes.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one about New York City. There's one about Valentine's Day.
Yes, 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 yes.
Weren't there other ones too? I don't know. I feel like that was a trend for a moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I personally enjoyed
it.
Normally don't think that I like that. I like to get more invested in characters over the whole length of the story, but I think for this, it was fun. I think, yeah, I did enjoy it.
Oh my God. Well, any good voices in this?
I don't think so. Excuse me, Brian Cox's ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
I'm loving
ba,
it.
Da, ba, ba, ba. From all of us here. It's turning into just a smooth jazz voice.
It's smooth jazz.
From all of us here at Too Scary Didn't Watch. Ba da da ba ba.
Ba da ba ba ba.
Oh my God, it's good.
Ba da ba ba ba.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Too Scary Didn't Watch. I'm here to remind you to head on over to Apple Podcasts where you can rate, review, and subscribe if you had as much fun as we did. We're also on Twitter and Instagram at TSDW Podcast, although admittedly not as great about updating our Twitter as we are on our Instagram. If we are also on Patreon at patreon.com/TSDW Podcast, you can sign up for access to things like bonus episodes, bingo cards, send in suggestions, all that type of thing. I think that's it, except for the fact that we love you forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Okay, see you next week.